Now something that has filled international news for decades, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Noura Erekat says it's a 20th century issue and it will need a 21st century solution. The Palestinian-American law professor from George Mason University has been speaking in Honolulu. We talked by phone about the historical context for a problem that dates back to the days of T.E. Lawrence, when Great Britain and France were carving up the Middle East. I asked her about the alliances and counter-alliances over the past century and if she thought the Palestinians were pawns in a much larger strategy.
I think Palestinians are at a point where they're not pawns. They might not have influence and therefore can't exercise their national self-determination in the ways that they would want. But I do not think that they're pawns, right? Because they are represented by the Palestinian Authority, governed by Fatah, as well as by Hamas in the Gaza Strip. What we see fall apart since the advent of the peace process in 1993 is the Palestinian Liberation Organization, which represented all Palestinians, regardless of their geographic location, as a national holistic body. And Palestinians today, to some extent in a very broken representational system, represent themselves but don't have either the national leverage, don't have national economies, don't have any kind of effective armies, don't have any type of leverage so that they can represent themselves in their interests. And in fact, today, Fatah, which represents the Palestinian Authority predominantly, has been unable to shift course and to resist Israel's ongoing settler colonialism and U.S. dictates on these issues, because they're reliant on foreign donor aid for survival because they don't have a national economy. And so they can't resist the U.S. They can't, for example, take Israel to the International Criminal Court so easily because they would risk losing one-third of their national budget, which is provided by the United States. And in the West Bank, at least 40% of the population is part of the public sector. And so any now resistance has very, very deep and destabilizing implications, which I think are worthwhile nonetheless, but which make this a bit more complicated. So that they're not pawns, they're not being played by anyone, but they're also been incapacitated so that they can't adequately represent themselves.
Nor there are concerns that external support, for example, for Hamas, is being done by countries that would like to see the destruction of Israel and that they're working through the Palestinians. So if they're not pawns, are they also perhaps witting or perhaps unwitting supporters of a strategy that would see the destruction of Israel?
I think we have to critically examine what this means, because this is part of creating a lexicon of words and code words that stand in for something much more complicated. For many ardent Zionists, their belief that the destruction of Israel is not actually the removal of Jewish people from the land. They're referring to the destruction as the destruction of a demographic majority of Jewish people. So they are characterizing the right of return of refugees, a human right for Palestinians who were displaced from their home. They're characterizing the acquisition and the benefit and the enjoyment of that human right as the destruction of a state. And I think we need to critically examine if a state is built on a demographic equation that has to be socially engineered and results in systematic human rights violations in order to be maintained, then is it in fact not the problem? So we really need to critically examine what that means when people say you want to destroy the state. Palestinians don't want to destroy the people, nor do they want to displace the people. This is about being able to live with them as equals and to coexist with them. Now, if that's the problem, then maybe we also need to reevaluate our own moral compass of what we'd like to see in the future of states being built, what we mean when we say democracy in the rest of the world. And so that's actually where our conversation should be about, rather than using these code words, which obfuscate the process of settler colonialism, and one which removes, displaces, and dispossesses Palestinians systematically and daily, even in the absence of kinetic violence or military warfare. So today in Jerusalem, and as for decades, Palestinian Jerusalemites are being removed simply because they are not Jewish. They do not have Jewish nationality. Are we okay with that? we shouldn't be, I hope we're not, and if we ascribe to a set of principles that we all believe in, we would abhor the removal of Palestinians, similar to the removal of any indigenous population from their home.
So, Nora, it seems that you're really separating the idea of the rule of law that should be equal to all who reside there, as opposed to a strategy that might see not just dilution of the Jewish population, but the end of it.
So there's no end of the Jewish population. And this code word you're using for dilution, within Israel today, Israel has sole legal, political, and military jurisdiction over Israel, as well as the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. It has eviscerated the two-state solution by expanding its settlements into the West Bank, and so that now it's proposing to annex it, and has explicitly said we're okay with apartheid rule because we want to annex what we believe is historically Judea and Samaria. And so Israel has single-handedly destroyed the two-state solution by its own policy. Because of its sole jurisdiction, if you look at the population demographics today, there are 1.2 million Palestinians within Israel. They are citizens of the state, but they are second-class citizens. There are 1.8 million in the Gaza Strip, and there are 2.5 million in the West Bank. In contrast, there's approximately 6 million Jewish Israelis in the region. Already, that demographic balance that Israel seeks is destroyed and is tenuous. The only way to maintain that socially engineered demographic balance is to exclude Palestinians altogether. So to create them and to make sure that they are outside the legal system and exist as civilians and persona non grata. That is the situation we are witnessing. So to say that this is a dilution of the population or a removal of it, in fact, that population today is already somewhat in balance, and the only way Israel is able to maintain what is a fake demographic majority is by excluding Palestinians altogether, relegating them to no man's land where no law and no self-representation exists at all.
Which is why you've been saying that this is a long-standing Palestinian problem, that Israel has not an issue of national security. But having said all the things that we've talked about today, do you honestly think that there's a one-state solution that will be possible and that will be amenable to both Palestinians and Israel? Is it possible?
I think that it's absolutely possible because it's inevitable. And what exists today for analysts that are paying attention is a one-state reality. There is already one state that exists, and it's one where Israel has geographic, military, and political jurisdiction over all the land. Now, what is impeding the move from the situation where we have today, where the population is inextricably populated, where Israel already has, exercises one state jurisdiction? What is impeding the movement from where we are today of domination and subjugation of Palestinians to a state where it is one state where all people are equal, looks much like the South African model of ending apartheid. That this is already possible, it's already the reality. What we have to work on now is a process of, frankly, decolonizing the psyche that Jewish persons are entitled to superiority, that Palestinians are somehow inferior as a matter of fact, and that, in fact, these are all people who should be living in a single state reality and being able to rule themselves. To get to that place, which is very difficult, it means that we as an international community have to be invested in peace and in a viable solution that doesn't necessitate the removal of Palestinians in order to achieve some sort of viable and sustainable outcome.
That was part of my conversation with Palestinian-American law professor Nora Arakat. She specializes in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and teaches law at George Mason University. More of our conversation will be on our website, hpr2.org.